Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for being on tonight. I'm very excited about tonight, as I am most every time. I'm back home. Last Monday, I'd already been on the road 4 days when I was using a hotel ballroom, but I got to get a kick out of it. I'm broadcasting live from the Marriott Ballroom, and God has been gracious. Got a lot done, awful lot of things had to be accomplished for work and ministry. I was up at Gloria Zion and got to go in there a little bit, and the opportunities of what God is doing are beyond the normal individual's understanding. And we need to press in to the Lord to gain wisdom. The greatest thing we can pray for right now is wisdom. And this entire study is to establish wisdom that God could be glorified, we could be set free, and therefore set others free. So tonight I'm going to talk about many, many points. It all ties together. And it talks about what God is doing and why, and how it all ties together for us getting set free from iniquitous curses, things of the past, and even things of the future. So I'm going to, let's go before the Lord. Father Yahweh, we just come before you in the name of Yeshua, your son Jesus Christ. And we come to you, Lord God, as those that intercede on behalf of each other, on behalf of the saints, on behalf of our family, on behalf of our land, the city, the state, the nation. Lifting up your holy name, seeking after you, Lord, because you have said that you have called upon us to bring the blessings of the covenant into the land. You said that we, like Joshua, have been chosen to go into the land of promise. And the land of promise had to be cleaned. It had to be cleared. But you would bring blessings to the new land and opportunities for growth, that we would receive the fullness of the inheritance that you have given unto us and to the saints. Father, you said that we should not fear that which we are facing right now. We're not to fear it for ourselves or our offspring. But we're going to recover that which has been stolen. We're going to destroy the work of the enemy. We're going to set ourselves and the captives free. And we're going to go into the place of the inner circle of the kingdom, that we could, Lord, press in such a way that it would be undeniable that you have put your hand upon us. Your seal is upon our forehead. Your mercy and your great love through your son, Jesus Christ, will shine through us like a light in the darkness, a light set on top of the hill. A dear friend always says to me, when things get darker, even the smallest light shines brightly. So, Lord, we come to this night asking that you would give us wisdom, asking that you would give us understanding, hope, and direction, that the host of heaven angels that are assigned to us would begin manifesting in our lives and in our children, that you'd grant us an understanding of the fullness of your armor, that we could put it on and walk in a place of victory against the devil's schemes, covered by the precious blood of Jesus, set on a path that we can see that others can't, filled with your Holy Spirit, empowered by your word, that we could bring thy kingdom work into fullness, and you'd be glorified. And I thank you for these things in Yeshua's precious name. Amen and amen. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody for being here. Most of you now have received the second series of books that I've sent out, and we just received a blessing this week to help buy more books. There's a series by Fred Mosley, which I mentioned last week. He is a judge, spent 30 years working throughout the system, prosecutor, judge, in the Justice Department, a defense attorney. He got spirit-filled and gained an understanding of the laws of the land, the laws of God, and the laws of principle in man. And that is going to be the next series. I'm ordering them tomorrow. I talked to him. He set up a program so I can pass these on to you at a little better price. And God has been good to us. Many of you have called. Many, many have called over this past 10 days that I've been traveling and said it's overwhelming. It's absolutely overwhelming to learn of the iniquitous relationships, of the sins of the fathers, of the curses that were on their families. And I want to encourage you tonight. This is a night of encouragement. God said he's going to bestow and grant a gift on you as you press in doing this. And his promise means that he's going to fill it. He's going to fill a basket of gifts unto you because of you being set free. And he's literally, Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and he says, tell the people not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be overwhelmed by that which you're facing. Realize that he has brought it to your attention for this season, that you were born for such a season as this. You were raised up because he's prepared you to handle it, and he's going to give you peace and victory. And in that, he's brought an assurance to me that as you pray through this season, this time, your eyes are going to be opened beyond anything that you imagine. And it's going to give you the ability to not only break free the captives, but set many other people free. You know, all of us want to be filled with the fullness of God. All of us want the blessings of God, the inheritance, the promises of God. But not many really want to stand in the presence of God because of his holy anointing, the literal glory that comes forth. Many people who have said they've experienced that they've gone into the throne rooms and actually been in his presence, who thought they could stand before the Lord, or they've had a visitation from Jesus, said they wanted to crawl under the carpet on their floor because his glory was so great, his mercy and his goodness and his greatness was so great. So understand something. Ephesians 20, and Ephesians happens to be my favorite book of the Bible, he talks about, he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, believe and understand this. He is able to set you free, to break off the bondages of sin and death, and grant you a gift beyond anything you've ever known before. And that gift is freedom. And that comes into something that is called the riches of his glory. And riches literally means wealth, the wealth of his glory. So it doesn't just mean finances. It means peace, security, safety, love, abundance, joy, blessings. And that is more than most any of us could ever ask for. And in doing that, he's going to give you a new power. He wants to give you a strength in your inner being that you've never understood before. And that power that a lot of people talk about, dunamis power, people talk about Kratos power, and that means manifestation. That means the strengthening of the manifestation of God within you that turns into dunamis power, explosive power. So as you're going to go forth over these next couple weeks, we're going to start dealing with certain strongholds, specific strongholds dealing with you and then your land, and taking the steps to set you free of these and giving you the ability to grab hold of God's power through his word, the Kratos, that in Ephesians 6:10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that power is going to rise up within you, and all of a sudden, you that have been timid and were afraid to speak out anywhere are going to gain a strength and a boldness. And some of you in the past, in different denominations, you've been in situations where you've heard somebody speak out in boldness and you thought it was embarrassing, or you were intimidated, or you felt they were out of line, when actually most of them weren't. Now, I'm sure there's some. I've been, you know, three different denominations, five different churches that I've been involved in the pastoring of. And in each one of those, it was a different type. There were black churches, Hispanic churches, white churches, mixed churches that I've been involved in. And some people have the, you know, you say it's emotionalism, whereas working in the power of God, and that power released to the dunamis power, that Kratos power becomes dunamis power, when you're going to start talking to these strongholds, these curses, these sins, and the powers behind them, you're going to end up getting loud. You'll get loud just because of the confidence that's in you. Now, we don't need to yell at God. We don't need to scream our lungs at the Lord, try to get him to hear us. He hears us if it's, you know, in secret and we're whispering through our spirit or through whatever we speak. But you're going to find yourself rebuking the enemy with a strength that you've never known before. He's going to increase your might and your authority to the point that you will feel strong in his grace and power, a true son. And sonship is not masculine. It is masculine and feminine. It means that, you know, the fullness, like the bride, doesn't mean just female. And we're not talking homosexual or lesbian. We're talking who that positional person is, just like I've talked about positional authority in the past. So as these things come to light, Lord, show me that you're going to break forth in a new way. Now, in several of the different books that I'm reading, one of them from Bobby Charnock.
Start a new job.
Is really, really important for where we're going. I'm not saying that you have to buy this book, but it's called Lineage, the Line and Legitimacy or Legacy of the Individual. And in that, God is saying, what is legacy and what's the spiritual significance to us? So I just want to read a passage out of here. Every person on this earth has a legacy, just as every human on earth has a distinct set of fingerprints, a distinct set of DNA. Each of us has a unique legacy. That legacy can be likened to the footprints of life. Just as footprints in a soft sand reveal that someone has passed this way, so too legacy is evidence that you are on earth and points to your accomplishments and or to the sin in the background. It can be a fragrance of your life, which lingers long after you departed, or it can be a bane in life. It could be a curse. And how you live your life will have everlasting consequences on your family and all the generations to follow. So this is one of the things that we're dealing with. Scripture declares that you will leave an inheritance to your children and grandchildren. It says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, Proverbs 13:22. As a sharp chisel is applied to stone, it leaves a mark. So the conduct of our lives leaves an impression of good or bad. God said, choose life, not death. Many times, choices we make leave death in the family lineage. Scripture states that you will reap what you have sown. And this goes, I'm going to break this into Mosley's book also. And it goes back to Galatians 6. One of the fundamental principles of sowing and reaping is that you're going to reap more than you sow, and you're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow discord, anger, resentment, rebellion, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual sins, all these things are reaped in your family generation. If it wasn't you, it could be your spouse. It could be your grandparents that did this. These things show up just as a pebble is tossed into the pond. The ripples go out, and they're going to have far-reaching results. It's the same thing in every one of our lives, and we're dealing with this on these series of calls that we can be a redemptive love and light to the hurting world by setting ourselves free and our family free, that the curses of the past will not light on them, and the legacy that is being left behind be that of lasting will and testament that goes on for generations to 1,000 generations, which would be the blessings of the Lord. So God said he wants to honor the blessing of the testimony of the upright. See Proverbs 22:1. And that is the goal Titus 3:8. So when we're looking at this inheritance, bequest, heritage, gifts, birthrights, and it also goes back and we put the negative sides of those things, it's curses, iniquitous sins, sickness, disease, infirmities, things that are passed on. So the Lord says, you know, if you're wondering, is my legacy significant? And the answer to that is yes. Jesus Christ asked a pointed and powerful question in Matthew 16:26. Well, what profit is it if a man gains the whole earth and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? At the end of a person's life, the thing that truly matters is not a huge bank account, but the life that was lived to his glory. And each of us should aspire to live our lives, to hear the voice that was spoken, that the Lord would say out of Matthew 25:21, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we are all coming to the point in our lives where we're gaining a knowledge and understanding of how to set ourselves and our families free. In Ian Clayton's work that I sent out to many, and I will make it available to all that want it, he says, judge yourself first and learn what it means to judge your stuff, your being, so that you can look inside you by seeking God, and you'll deal with that which has been done, that which is the enemy's accusing you of, so you'll see if you have good works, so you have works that won't be burned up. And in that, you gain positional authority. You gain authority in the kingdom to be able to walk in a new place, the kingdom of this earth, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of the court system in heaven, that you would go into a new place of freedom and victory. And we are gaining that. Many of you have talked to me and said, this has been a blessing. This has been something new to me that has helped set me free. Now, I want to bring something out of the books that I just sent to you, the courtroom of heaven, prayers and petitions, and the throne of grace and mercy. You'll note and you'll hear me speak out of many of the chapters. I'm going chapter by chapter as we go through these things. But I'm not going to repeat the dreams and the situations of Jeanette and some of the people she dealt with. I'm going to deal with ones I've dealt with and ones you all have dealt with, so that we can see that it's relevant in our lives, and that by doing these steps, we are literally changing the course of the earth. We're changing not only our lives, but all the lives around us. Scripture says that every word we speak on earth is recorded in the book in heaven that documents our whole life. And when we come to the end of days, the scripture says the book will be open and read, and each person shall be examined, saved and unsaved alike. In Psalm 47 it says, then said I, behold, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. So as believers, we've got to understand something that the unsaved doesn't understand. Every word is written in the books of heaven. It's recorded. If you're cussing, if you're, you know, let's use it as church. Let's say we're in church tonight. We are. If you go to church and then turn around and leave and have an argument with your family and start cussing at your kids or your wife or your husband, then that is recorded in the books of heaven. And that's going to be opened up before you. Every prayer, no matter how simple, that was made on behalf of someone or the generations will have an impact on you and the world. Literally, I believe that I was prayed in by my grandmother, and I'm sure many of you feel the same thing. You were prayed in by a grandparent. The word says in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. It says judged, therefore it shows in the word, again, that we are literally in a courtroom before the Lord. And that's out of the first chapter in the courtroom of heaven, prayers and petitions. As we go forward, as we gain an understanding of that which God is doing, we're going to see, that the Lord had a perfect plan of justice through spiritual law. Now, I mentioned this once before. Robert Zuloaga and I talked about this probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. He'd gone to court for something. I won't get into all that, but he presented his case towards the judge, and the judge says, you want justice, and you need to know that you're in an administrative court, and justice cannot be given here. Now, that's kind of a paraphrase, because justice in the courts of man cannot be obtained. It can only be obtained in the courts of heaven, that when you step into the courts of man, you've already been covered by the blood, and you can get instructions on that which you're to do. So we are, without a doubt, operating under natural, physical, and spiritual laws. All those laws apply. If you break a natural law, and I used the example of Monty last week. I said, if I take Monty out of North Dakota and take him into the highest skyscraper in New York City and tell him to step off, the law of gravity is going to take over and he's going to fall to the bottom. There's a natural physical law, and there's also a spiritual law. Jesus Christ, because of who he was, could have stepped out because he was the Son of God. And Satan tempted him to do that, knowing that he broke the laws because he was the establisher of the laws, and therefore he could function within and without. The plant kingdom is controlled by laws. Now, if you don't believe that, now my wife seems to have a brown thumb. We kid about that. She can destroy a plant quicker than anybody I know, and I'm great at growing plants. I know how much to water them, what they need. It's just, I grew up on a farm. But you take a flowering plant, you take it and put it in a dark room, it's not going to live. It withers and dies. And that's the same thing dealing with specific physical laws, dealing with that plant and its kingdom, whereas God is saying, all right, I want you to deal with the spiritual laws that can be transferred into the physical, that you can be set free. We're no longer under the Mosaic laws. We live under natural, physical, and spiritual laws, yes, and we think, well, Christ came, and therefore he did away with the law, because that is our understanding. But he didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. And that's where you have to go back to the other translations and see what God's saying. That's why it's nice to have multiple translations of the Word of God. God does not deal with just principles, because principles can be flexible. Here's a principle, and that can flex one way or another, depending on circumstance. But God's law is absolute, and this is where in our education system, and even in churches, we've lost track. God deals in absolutes. The law, Christ delivered us from the law through his blood, and we are covered by his blood, but we're still subject to the law, that which is carried on. And if we don't deal with those things that fall under the law, then the physical, natural world around us can be changed, and the enemy has a doorway to come in. You see, a principle is not bound to operate 100% of the time because it's relative to circumstances. However, law are absolute. God's laws are absolute, unfallible, 100% of the time, always. Just like the Word says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And because of that, what did it say Jesus was? He says he was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was the law, the lawgiver made flesh. And whether you believe it or not, things do get settled in heaven. And the Word says that. So it's out of Psalms 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So we go forward now, going into the courts of heaven, and it's going to look like foolishness to your family. I know that Matt and I were talking today, and he says, and he told people about it, and they look at him like he's got a third eye. the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we have to be spiritual in understanding these laws and where we're going to go into them. So it's just like the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you're going to sow, if you're going to go out there and throw corn out to the plowed land, you're going to get corn back. You're not going to get wheat back. And you're going to get more than what you sow. Well, it's the same thing. If you have sin in your past, you're going to gain greater retribution than that which you did. And you want the freedom from it. Okay, let's see here. I want to go. Satan, Lucifer, is a legalist. And he will use every trick there is to accuse the saints before God day and night. It's logical that we must assume that if he stands before the Lord, then the demons are bringing him the knowledge of what has happened, because he can't be everywhere. And he's accusing the brethren before the Lord day and night in the courts that he may have something upon him. It's a tactic of his that he can mislead us and deceive us into error and bring our house down. If he destroys the family, he destroys the church, he destroys the city, he destroys the nation, and our nation's at the brink of destruction right now. Jesus said, be careful, let no one mislead you, deceive you, or pull you into error. Because the gifts and callings that he has for you and the inheritance that he has for you is far greater than anything Satan has to offer you in his tricks. So through his accusations, he's trying to tear down. And if we call upon the Lord, the Lord says, you know, that he'll help us in our time of weakness. And when we can't figure out what we need to pray for, we're in a situation and circumstance, we have no idea what to do. This is why he says, pray in the Spirit. For the Spirit makes intercession for us in groanings that we cannot understand. For he searches the hearts of man and knows what the Spirit is. He knows the mind of the Father. And he works toward setting us free. So, I'm going to take a little break here, and I want to encourage you. The Lord says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not as unto men, knowing that the Lord will receive it, and you will receive a reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that does wrong will not receive anything but a curse. So, many of you have questioned me this past week, how do I handle this? And I'll be honest with you, to say it's easy would be a lie. To say Christianity is easy is a lie. Pastors that I've been around in the past, so it's one of the best, easiest things you've ever done in your life. It's not the easiest, it's the best. Because we're expected to learn more and more. We're expected to press into the Lord, into a relationship that we can gain knowledge. And that knowledge and wisdom and discernment helps set us free and set our families free, that we can enter into the kingdom, into the fullness of the Lord, and understand that which he wants us to do. So as we have gone forward, as we have been learning, I've encouraged everybody. One step at a time. God shows you something. Deal with it. God shows you where your grandchildren are acting a certain way, and your children act a certain way. And it's not that which you believe is right, because God's showing you they're walking wrong, and all of us have a tendency, because of the change in generation, say, well, my kids, you know, it's being stupid, the music, whatever it is. They're led astray, go back and lift them up before the Lord. In Jeanette's book, she talks about dealing with God showing her a dream. And I said, I won't go into great in dreams, but God will show you that which has caused the problems. Now, with me, and I believe with many, many people, they have to sit down and ask the Lord what he meant, because so often you get a dream and you say, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. And it doesn't remind you of anything. You ask the Lord, and he'll give you the interpretation of the dream. Over and over again, I've had to go before the Lord and say, what does this mean? What are you saying here? Or why are you saying it, and what do you want me to do with it? That's where you start dealing with the prophetic. That's where God starts bringing to you the power of your prayer. He starts enlightening you on what and how your prayer will be answered. And he starts giving you directions that you know how to pray and how to lift up your family members. So as he shows you, you ask him now to show you what the curses are. At that point, you listen. You wait, and he'll start showing you things. Some of them are going to be overwhelming. Some of them are going to seem minor, but take them all before the courts. Now, I say the courts, and we're using this as a reference point on everything we're doing here. The courts of heaven are real. The judgments are being issued against you because nobody's broken the curses. So in prophetic prayer, you're going before the Lord, and you're speaking out and asking him what these things were, and then you're prophesying against them. So you're literally going into the courts, asking the Lord to transfer the guilt from guilt and judgment into mercy and grace. And I don't care what the sin is. He says he's faithful and just to do that. As he does that, your slate is being cleaned, and now he'll show you something else. He might start out with the big things, what we think are big. You know, when I came to the Lord, I thought bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred because of the way I grew up and the way I was treated. And I had hatred. I understood what hate was. And many people, that because of racism, remember the things I talked about? There's the seven categories that we dealt with in the past. Well, when we look back at those categories, robbing God, racism, robbing man, disobeying parents, idle words, cursing, which is going to be, you know, recorded in heavens, covenant breaking. You make a covenant, you keep it. Broken relationships, how do you mend that? If you can't mend it, he doesn't want you to go back if you've been divorced and try to reestablish a relationship with your ex. That's not what he's after. He says, break off the curse of the bondage of it. Those seven categories, God is saying, all right, now I'm going to give you the word. You're going to start speaking out against these things. You're going to start canceling the assignments of them. You're going to start addressing the demonic strongholds, and you're going to be bold in doing it. So the words that you prophesy over your circumstances will change not only you and your countenance, they will change the atmosphere around you and the future for you and your family. I can't emphasize how great of importance that is. Because doing that is going to cause you to get set free. So, again, it's always a hard word, but it's also a word of encouragement. It's also a word that says you can be set free. Now, God spoke something at Gloria Zion this weekend. And I want to bring it to you, and I'm going to relate it to some other things. Chuck Pierce had a word. He says, God is raising up new teams. And those new teams are like us coming together on this call. Well, we're going to start prophesying to one another. We're going to start speaking out that which God tells us to pray over each other. I've asked many of you to pray. I know that John does it, Candace does it, Robert, many of you. I've had you to pray, and in that you've helped the captives be set free, all of us. Well, he wants us to decree and praise him for that which he's getting ready to do. He's saying that demonic forces will leave. He's getting ready to shake the heavens and the earth, the Lord is, because of the demonic doctrine of religion that's held captive this nation and the world. It wasn't his plan. We have to seek after his counsel. We have to set ourselves, our family, and our land free. Does that mean just because we prayed prayer we're going to get the answer right away? No. It's going to be in his timing. But we're heading into a war in the spirit realm that has never been seen before. David and I have talked about it. David's on tonight, and he's seen the angels. He's seen multitudes, myriads of angels released. They've seen him at our church. They've seen him in other parts of the nation. They're seeing them around the world. Ask the Lord to open your eyes so that you can see the angelic host. The word was that we only have 2 years to get everything right and realigned. And I'm going to bring you some references on that. The next 2 years are critical. As we go into this season of the blood moons, we're in them. We're in them right now because of Passover and Pentecost and the alignment, which is going to come again. Let me find the reference here. It's coming up, Tabernacles, Rosh Hashanah, are the next two ones. And that is going to bring about a shift in the heavenlies. It has been prophesied that these things are going to happen. Let me read you something. An 800-year-old prophecy by Rabbi Judah ben Solomon. Immediately following the year 2016, and based on this was given 800 years ago, based on the Word of God, that which has taken place and that which shall take place, there's going to be a shift as never before in the 10th Jubilee year, which is 2017, and it will begin the messianic end of times. Now, I don't want anybody to panic. This is a book called The Zenith of 2016 by Thomas Horn. And it goes back. Ben Samuel's prediction was absolutely right on the Ottoman Empire, that which was going to happen over the next 400 years. And even 300 years after his death, things start happening, lining up with Leviticus 25, and that which kingdoms would take over. Now, Jerusalem would be a no man's land for 50 years. That happened, a jubilee. After that, the British Mandate took place. Jerusalem was reestablished, Six-Day Wars. And the countdown of the Jubilees would fall into fulfillment on 2017, Tabernacles. Now, I'm not an end-time date-sitter, although I've taught on the end times for years and years. The Catholic Church prophecies from 900 years ago was that the first black pope would be the last pope before the messianic time began. Now, does that mean it's going to be the tribulation? Can't say that. It is going to be the end of the church age. Some people think that that has already begun. So I want to caution and encourage. We, in doing what God has told us to do right now, are setting a precedent to set not only us, but the church free. We have to understand the enemy's a legalist. And he doesn't play by the rules. But God has called you into battle. It's going to lead you to victory. And the word says you're going to prevail against the gates of hell. be prepared to stand and fight. Be prepared to have the prophetic prayers. God will give you the word that you need to pray. He'll give you that which needs to be broken. And as we go forward over these next couple of years, I'm not going to be in the same Bible study for the next couple of years, but as you go forward and gain in wisdom and knowledge and are setting yourself free and your family free, you're going to see your loved ones come back in. You're going to see your kids and your grandkids saved. You're going to see healings break forth. Manifestations of signs, wonders, and miracles are going to be poured out. The Lord said that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. Do you think that's the church of today? I say no. The church of today is convoluted. It's really in a mess. But he's pulling the body together. He's pulling us together to understand the legal system. He's pulling us to understand that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the truth. And the enemy, who's a liar, cannot prevail against the blood. So all of you that grew up in denominations and all of you that have stood and just pled the blood of Jesus, you're not wrong. You just understand what it means. You need to understand what it means. He's calling for a bride that's going to be warriors. He said they're going to be without spot or blemish. How can we be without spot or blemish if we have the curses of generations following us? If the iniquities of our forefathers are coming onto us and our children and grandchildren? So he's saying that I'm setting you free. Monty was after me for a year and a half to do this. He really pushed on me 6 months ago, and I took it before the Lord. And I didn't want to get into this because I knew the battle that myself and all of us were going to get involved with. But at the same time, the Lord says, I want you to do this. I want you to get serious with me. Know me, know my son, be filled with my Holy Spirit, baptized into my Holy Spirit, cleansed by the blood, understand my legal system, that the word can come forth and the judgments will not be against you, but the enemy. So he's calling you to stand against the gates of hell and prevail. So if indeed the prophecies of Ben Samuel, if indeed the prophecies of the Catholic Church are coming true, if indeed, and some of you know the same people that I know, the words from the government agencies, from people I know that believe there's going to be terrorist attacks within the United States, come to pass, we have to understand the season we're in, and don't panic about this. We need to push in over these next couple of years to get yourself set free. Is that just the courts? No. But it has an awful lot to do with them. And I'm hearing victories in health and healing. I'm hearing victories over land. I hear people saying that they're seeing amazing things happen. And many of you are going to walk into a new realm right now. Matter of fact, this is the word. Hold on. I can't see. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The legacy that we shall now live will be a legacy that is established by the Lord and not that which our generations in the past have set. We're going to walk into a new place of an inheritance, new gifts, new birthrights, fulfilling the promise of the glory of God within our lives. We are now positioned to press through in such a way that we shall be restored and that the years that have been taken, that which the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the great armies that the Lord sent against us, amongst us, they shall be restored. And just like David at Ziklag, we shall recover all. Not only that, we shall come in to a fullness, woo, glory to God, walking in forgiveness with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to overcome the attacks of the enemy, that we shall recognize immediately when the accuser brings us into the courts, and we'll immediately cancel that assignment by transferring it into the courts of mercy and grace, that the Lord God would say to us, well, that he's well pleased. Through that he shall set us and our families free, and you shall see your loved ones which have not walked where they should walk turn unto the Lord and walk in such a way that they will hate evil and wickedness because of the glory of God that is settled upon you. And they shall have peace when they come to your home. They shall have joy, and they will not understand it until they can gain an understanding of that which the Lord is saying through you, that his mercy and grace and loving kindness shall lead to salvation, and that you shall bring about the new generation. This is giving birth out of the mother's womb. You're going to give birth to your sons and daughters and your grandchildren in such a way as the enemy has planned to bring destruction over these next couple of years. You're going to bring about glory into God's kingdom.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
Goosebumps running up and down me. God is going to restore and reward that which you're doing. He's going to restore that which is taken. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. He's going to set the captives free. So do not be afraid. Do not be intimidated by what God is saying, because he is saying that I'm going to make a time and a place for you through the courtrooms that you shall be like a judge yourself, because he said we're going to judge the enemy. So, Lord, Father, I've got to pray this, and then we're going to open up. Lord, I just want to encourage people. As we come into the courtrooms of heaven, we humble ourselves and our lives before you, our families. We repent, Lord God, of any sin that we've committed against your word. We ask that you would show us any sins that would be used against us in the spiritual courts of heaven, so that we can present them before you in repentance, asking forgiveness, asking to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus. We know that in the courtroom of heaven, only truth will be presented, and yes, Lord, everything will be brought into the open. Our lives will be examined first before we can present another case. The accuser will make sure of that. He will bring about everything that we have done or our family has done and say that he has rights to us. He has the right to bring about this sickness. He has the right to bring about these judgments because of the stumblings of the past. But, Lord God, you said that you are faithful and just to forgive us, to cancel the sin, remove it as far as the east is from the west, and move it from a courtroom of judgment into the throne room of grace and mercy, and remove any veils from over our eyes and our understanding, that we can see the truth in every area that has been blinded, that we'll see the patterns of wrong thinking that has built up strongholds, and we'll pull those strongholds down. Help us, Lord God, to think and see clearly, that we can walk before you in truth and righteousness with the help of your Holy Spirit, that your grace and mercy and the shed blood of Jesus that was paid as the price for our debt and sin would cover us. As our spiritual debt was paid, Lord God, I just ask that you would show us how we are no longer in bondage, but that we walk in liberty. Not just freedom, but liberty. I've thought this many times, Father. I've said it over and over again over the years. Liberty comes with responsibility to keep ourselves and our loved ones out of sin, out of the courtrooms. We acknowledge our sin to you. Our iniquity shall not be hidden. We confess our transgressions, Lord God, that which we've done and that of the sins of omission, things that we were supposed to do and did not do. Colossians 1:20 says that you shall reconcile all things unto yourself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. We proclaim that we have been justified and accepted to be able to stand before you and present our petitions in the courtrooms of heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we receive your mercy and grace as ambassadors of Christ, intercessors for the kingdom, for thy glory, in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Woo! Glory to God.
I've been waiting for that one for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I've got every hair on my body standing up. I do. I got goosebumps from head to toe. Praise the Lord. That was of the Spirit. It wasn't of me. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. You know, the power is going to come upon each and every one of you. I sense it. I can see it in the heavens. The power is going to come upon you to overcome the demonic spirits associated with your family. Those Amen. That have family members that were just literally servants of Satan in the past are going to be, it's going to be revealed, and you're going to be set free. In the Republic, for those of you that are members of the Republic, you understand that the certificate of citizenship was a legal doorway that brought the enemy into the nation, and it has given the corporate United States rule and authority over us. Now, I don't want to get into debate with you. You do not have to destroy the certificate itself. You have to destroy the curse that came in, that the enemy no longer has the rights. Now, we can talk the law of the land all you want to at another time, but I want you to understand you're being baptized that just as Jesus, John said it. You know, it says one comes, I baptize you with water, but one comes that's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And that is getting ready to happen in your lives, and you're going to be set free in a new way through all this in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So be encouraged. Do not be discouraged. Be encouraged to know that God wants to move in your lives. There's lots of prophecies out there. I do follow Chuck Pierce. I've read all of his books, and I've never found him wrong. He's a modern-day prophet, an apostle. There were many that had gone before him that were accurate prophets of God. In the book by Thomas Horn called Zenith 2016, he's talking about 2016 being the zenith of the world. I know that I have actually talked to men with the agencies that the acronyms that make many people tremble, that cause a lot of the problems of the world today. They have seen that 2017 is going to be one of the most dramatic years in history. The prophets of old, and Solomon with his prophets, his prophecies, and I just touched on them. There's a reformation. There's the third reformation getting ready to take place. It's already begun. And it's going to be a raising up of the young generations. And it actually has begun with the blood moons. The blood moons is so significant in the time of things, the years and the seasons. And the Lord said, you know, look at the moons. Look at the seasons. Know where you are. Look at the feast. The feasts are very important. And those of you that grew up in denominations that didn't study these things, the book by Robert Heidler, The Messianic Church Arising, I would highly recommend that you go on gloryofzion.org and get that book. It's an understanding of the feast. It's an understanding of the times we're in. And he states it as clearly as any man that I've ever been involved with. So I'm going to stop preaching. When you get going, it's hard not to. I need to ask a bunch of you different people questions and find out where you are. And again, nobody's obligated to pray. Nobody's obligated to give testimony. I don't want you to feel that way. I just need to know a couple things. So, Nancy, I'm going to call on you first. I know that your plans are to leave for Israel, another week? Is that correct? Nancy, I do not have you muted. You have you muted. Well, let me try unmuting you and see what happens. Nancy?
Yes?
There we go.
All right.
Do you have any word that you want to bring, any prayer that you want to bring? And I want to make sure we all pray for you. So when is your date that you intend to leave?
August 27th.
Okay. How are the funds coming?
They've come in.
Glory to God.
I needed $8,000. I asked the Lord for $10,000 so that I could pay my bills this month before I left. And $10,000 has come. I'm asking for 2,000 more so that I can share with people as I see needs, because I know in my own life and as I've ministered that when there's a desperate need in someone's life, if that need is met first, they're usually more open to the things of God. And so I want that money to be available as God's Spirit would direct me to share.
Well, praise God. I can't thank you enough for your word, your encouragement, your offerings, your attitude. I mean, it's a blessing. I know there's been days when you said you didn't have anything to share because of the oppression. Did you get the books I sent last week?
Yes, I did, and thank you so much. I plan to take most of them with me on the plane and share them with a couple that I will be traveling with. We've been asked to stay an extra week in Kosovo and an extra week in North Cyprus. So it's moving into about 3 months now instead of 2. I'm available for whatever God says and how he wants to work.
Well,
the one thing that God has really been teaching me through this is that I had lost my passport in moving. I got paid extra money so that it would come quicker. And the day that I received it, I have no recollection of what happened to it. So my passport is missing. And that means a trip up to Seattle and back if God doesn't reveal it or bring it to me before I need to leave.
Okay.
God, I was tormenting myself night and day. That's all I could think about, what a rotten person I was because I'd lost it and why can't I remember anything and so forth. And I just said, my friend said, why don't you ask God a question about it? And ask him, what question does he want you to ask? So I did that. And he told me that there was a deep fear 7 generations back in my family of anybody being on the mission field. And that fear is what was driving me to try to make things not happen, even though I was willing and wanted them to happen. So in using some of the techniques that you have shared and that, I've prayed for the deliverance for that in my family line and the curses. And the next day after God broke them, I only thought, he said, you feel too responsible. You're supposed to let me be responsible for it. He said, you've been responsible for your parents' marriage. You've been responsible for your older brother that's handicapped. You've been responsible for your younger brother. And then all of your children and everybody you take it on. And he said, I want you to carry a light load. I don't want you to feel the responsibility. So I just learned so much in that. And the next day, I only thought about 3 times about my passport. And I just said, Papa, you're responsible for it. I'm not. And then he reminded me of the diamond ring that I'd lost for over 2 years, and he brought it back to me. And he said, you don't think I can bring the passport? So he said, just process forward. Do what I tell you to do each day so you'll be ready to go and we'll deal with the passport. So I'm really excited to see the end of that story.
Praise God. Now, everybody, I want everybody that's on this call and everybody to listen in. Just by taking the steps, God revealed to her something that was 7 generations ago.
Yes.
And that has been dealt with. It's been transferred out into the courts of mercy and grace.
Yes.
The freedom has been set in place.
Yes.
And, oh, Lord, glory. Not only that,
yes,
but that freedom of that freed you up in your family. Because he was speaking to you because you took the steps, then you and your family are being set free. The bondage of trying to take on all that, God is setting you free from it.
Yes. Woo. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo.
Glory to God. I mean, God. That's been worth the 10 weeks right there. That testimony right there is worth the 10 weeks and the study and the problems. Glory unto you, O Lord God. Glory.
Yes. Glory. I've been shouting. God. Hallelujah.
Woo! Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
So everybody get this. And the Lord showed me this. I've said it over and over again. I'm going to keep on saying it. The first bit of land to be set free is us. We were made from the dirt of the earth. This is the land he wants to set free first. And that breaks off the curses. The land he's talking about is you.
Oh,
your property
yes.
just gets to be a blessing. Your property, when you pray over it and do communion over it, just gets to be a blessing. Any other curse that was done on that land that you purchased or inherited will be canceled because the land that the Lord loves. Get this. The land that the Lord loves has been set free.
Amen.
Ooh, now that's the true bride of Christ, Nancy. Woo! Glory!
Woo-hoo! Yes!
yes. Would you like to pray anything? Then I'm going to pray. Oh, matter of fact, John, I'm going to have you pray over her in agreement, because the prayer of agreement is incredible. You do not want to do a prayer of agreement for people that just come up to you and say, will you agree with me in prayer? Well, what's it about?
Yes.
You know, because you take on the bondage. But I'm going to agree with Nancy. Number one, God has said he'll show her the passport.
Yes.
He'll make a way. But, John, I'm going to have you have the Lord lead you on how to pray for her. But, Nancy, is there anything you want to pray?
Not right at the moment.
Okay. All right. John, would you, there's so many Johns on the call right now. There's four. So, Rockwell, would you pray?
Sure. I kind of figured you were talking to me since I've been speaking up for a while. So.
Yep.
But, yes, I will be happy to do that. I'm excited for you, Nancy. It's all going to come to pass, and it's all going to be clear soon. Dear Lord Jehovah, thank you for sending her the revelation that she needs to just depend on you, that you've got everything under control, that you got everything taken care of. All she has to do is just wait on you. And we're taught to wait on you and depend on you and give our life to you totally. And I believe that's what she's doing. Thank you for sending her that confirmation and revelation that things are taken care of, the funds are going to be available for her that she needs and more, and that she will be a shining light as she goes to the Middle East, and she'll be protected by all your angels, and that she'll be able to do what you want her to do. And she depends on you totally for everything that is going to be coming in the next couple of months and longer, if you need her there longer as well. So she's definitely willing and able to do that. And appreciate you and thank you and praise you for lifting that burden from her where she didn't have to take responsibility for all her family and everything that that responsibility is transferred to you. And you take it with an open heart and a willing spirit because you know exactly what we need. You know exactly who we are. And you loved us before we were even thought of on this earth. You knew who we were. And you know what our plan was and what we were supposed to do. And that we were born for just a time as this because you knew exactly what we were going to do. We praise you and thank you for Nancy and everyone on this call, and praise you for your guidance and your direction that you're giving all of us. And I want to thank you for speaking to Wade and Monty and bringing this teaching to us because it's something that everybody on this call on Beyond Needs. It's good that it's being recorded and all these books and things like that are available to be able to expand and pass it to us and our generations and generations beyond us that will have more freedom than we can even imagine.
Yeah.
We praise you and thank you, especially for your son and his blood, because that covers us all and forgives us all from our sins. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
I pray that I will be on next week. I have it scheduled on my calendar, so that's, I'll still get one more weekend before we leave, the Lord willing.
Okay, and I will have another series of books for you.
Okay.
Hopefully in your hand by then.
Okay. Thank you all. So. Thank you all for your prayers. And once again, I just thank you so much, Wade, for all that you and your wife are going through to be able to share with us so that together as a team, we're going to take this land and the world for the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You know, everybody that's on this call needs to understand something. Because we literally are sowing into each other in our prayers and in our exhortations, we get part of the reward of what Nancy's getting ready to do.
Yes, yes.
Now, she has sown into us in her prayers and her giving, and all of you are benefiting from that. And when in that which she's doing, and we get to be a partaker of the blessing that she's going to be a part of. So receive that, each and every one of you. So, you know, when you sow into a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You plant a seed for his kingdom, then that which is going to come out of it is his kingdom. When you offer up a praise unto the Lord, when you sing and you give thanks unto the Lord, the blessings and the inheritance is going to be restored unto you. As you are being set free, these things are taking place.
Yes, yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, indeed. Well, let me ask
thanks,
a couple
everybody.
More people. Go ahead, Nancy. What?
I just wanted to say thank you, everybody, and God bless your week.
Yeah.
I need to go now, so I didn't know you.
Thank you.
So, Lord willing, hear you all next week. Be blessed.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for praying, John.
Yes.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night. Richard, did you get the books? Yeah,
thank
you. We talked
you.
About that earlier. You and I were on there. Have
okay.
you pressed into the books, Richard?
Not nearly far enough, but I'm standing in awe right now of the presence that I feel. This is wonderful. I'm so happy that I'm part of this way. And thank you again for what you're doing.
You know, I'm not doing anything. I'm just being obedient. I'm not doing anything any of you couldn't do. So I thank you. But
you initiated something.
Yeah.
You know, you're you know, you're being obedient, but somebody had to start it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just amazed. This experience is like nothing else I've ever had.
Well, it's not church as normal.
No, but it's better. it's much better.
You know,
than any church I've ever been to.
It's funny. A dear pastor friend and I, we used to run together. We had a ministry called Street Reach Ministries. And I came from a very poor, rough family. And I asked the Lord when I got saved, I want to go to the, I'm done with the down and outers. I want to deal with the up and comers. I want to deal with the rich and the business people. And I strive through my education and my work to become successful. And I didn't want to deal with people's problems anymore. I got up there and found out the people that were the wealthy ones had more problems than the people that were down and out many times. They just had a way of covering them. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he sent me back out to the streets. He sent me to the prisons. He sent me to places I didn't want to go. But I said, why are you sending me there? And he says, because you understand them. So as we gain understanding in what we're doing, God will send us to somebody else. Somebody's going to come to you. I would literally have people come to me, not even knowing who I was, and just pour their heart out because they sense the Spirit of God. That is getting ready to happen in every one of your lives. You're going to be shocked. And don't be afraid. God said He'll give you that which you need to say to help them get set free. And Matt and I were talking earlier today, and he said, you know, people, you know, they look at you strange when you try to tell them this, but when you start hearing testimonies like Nancy's and yours, Richard, you know, you're gaining a freedom that you haven't experienced before, because unfortunately, most churches try to make you feel good, and some of them beat you to death. The other ones try to make you feel good, and it's a mixture. You got to learn the truth, and the truth is not an easy pill to swallow, but once swallowed, freedom comes. So is there anything you'd like us to pray, Richard?
Well, one thing I wanted to say before anything is that of all the joys in my life, it seems to have tied in to the purpose I've stated before, and it's really words that have come to me, and I don't know the source. I've never identified the source, but I know that they just flowed. And those words brought relief to other people.
Yeah.
And that is the joy. And that's what I've been trying to find in my own life, to be able to, I want that to be my sandbox.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're in the ministry of reconciliation, it's called, reconciling man to God. And we have to be reconciled first, and then we're able to. And He'll give you the words. He'll speak to you that which you need to know.
To answer the question, I'm even more excited than I have been about pressing into these books and continuing to learn, continuing to gain understanding. And I feel the joy in my heart for it. And I'm happy to be here.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Father, I just lift up Richard, and as he gains understanding and as he gains the victory and wisdom, that not only he'll be set free, but there'll be a reconciliation with him and his children and his loved ones, and that they will see the great joy in his life, and that joy will be unspeakable. It'll be such a light in the darkness in their lives that they could not deny it. And you'll give him that which he needs to say and do, and you'll be glorified in it, and he shall inherit the kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. You know that Jesus is our inheritance. The kingdom of God is our inheritance. The Word is our inheritance. We just need to be children worthy of the blessing. Praise God. John Underwood, anything you'd like to share?
Well, praise the Lord. I've been a little distracted today. It's been really good, but I had some guy I've been working with from work here wanted to talk on the phone while Nancy was talking. So anyway. But I think what I've decided is I'm going to let my wife know that I'm going to pray over our land, and etc. And just invite her to join me and just go ahead and take care of it if she, whether she joins me or not. So,
well, you know, you would ask, and I did send you. I've sent you all the books now. You should have.
Yes, I got those. Thank you.
I hope she reads them all, and there's more to come. You know, legalism, which I was deep in, is very hard to get free from. The hurt of it. So
yeah.
One of the areas I want you to deal with, because of your denomination, I want you to break the curse of legalism.
Yeah.
And we call it religiosity in the ministry. Break the curse of legalism and religiosity, which is religion. God didn't come to have any, he didn't form any religion. He came to have relationship. And man added on the things that would glorify man to give him control.
Yeah.
So in his kingdom, for you and your wife and your family and your loved ones and those around you, to be set free, cancel that first.
Yeah.
And as you go forward, ask God to reveal to you those things which are hindrances in the bloodline, the legacy bloodline that is from the past, that you'll start breaking things off, and then everybody's going to see there's going to be a freedom, and they won't even understand it at first.
Yeah.
But there's such a significance in dealing with legacy that it'll change the atmosphere in everybody's family.
Praise God.
Anything you'd like to pray or anything you'd like to add?
So thanks for that reminder, and I want to repent to my wife once more for all the legalism I put her through. Tell her that I've repented again. Yeah. So that will be good.
Yeah.
So, Lord, we just give you praise for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And thank you for the freedom that you purchased for us on the cross, Lord. And thank you that that your word does not return void. So, Lord, we receive the work that you've done by faith. And we so appreciate it. We love you, Lord. We bless your name. And we want to want your name to be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, John, is Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
And I actually still do this. I take little file cards, 3x5 file cards, and I will either print or write on there certain scriptures, and I'll put them on my mirror. I'll just put a little piece of tape. I'll put them in different places around the house.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah 29:11, you probably know it, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, and that's for you and your family and every one of our families.
Amen.
And it's important. Lineage is very important, to go back with Nancy, going back. He showed her 7 generations ago how somebody spoke something that became a curse in the family line, in the bloodline. And so think about how important it is to God, because, you know, Matthew, you're dealing with lineage. Look at Exodus. God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, I'm the God of your father, Abraham. He considers our father, Abraham. Do not fear, because I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So the promise is to go from generation to generation. And when we, and like I said, I was steeped in, I can say this, for those of you that don't know, John was just in a denomination that's very legalistic. I was in a denomination that's very legalistic. I got to pretty much the top of that denomination of where I could go, and I said, man, this is heavy. And then God took me to the next place. He says, he's faithful to keep his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commandments. Well, his commandments are his laws. His laws fall under the blood of Jesus. Jesus did purchase that. He did fulfill the law. We are covered by the blood, but we have to acquire it through mercy and grace, and that's through repentance.
Yeah.
So So each and one of go do it, Overland. If your wife doesn't want to do it, go do it anyhow. You know?
Yeah.
And then when she finally gets to the point that she joins you, go do it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Well, Father, give John wisdom and an ear to hear and listen, not just hear, but listen, the heart of his family and your word, that he will have a major impact at his church, his business, and his family.
Thank you, Lord.
Your glory in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, we're on a roll tonight, folks. Spirit of God's moving.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to call on somebody I haven't talked to. And she came on late, and you're not obligated to do anything, but Lorraine, would you like to share a prayer request? Would you like to share anything? Would you like to get our series of books?
Well, I just took a gentleman to a Bible study last night where Bruce Vanetta was talking about his accident where a truck fell, the front axle, front of the truck fell on him.
Right.
And this happened back in 1980 something, but he was talking about it. And I brought someone that was not saved, and he did not accept the Lord into his heart at that time. And his name is Ed. And I would just like prayer for him that he would come to know the Lord. He was raised Catholic, and he hasn't gone to church probably for 35 years. And I felt very uncomfortable. And it was in a park, so it wasn't even at a church. But he wouldn't, you know, the whole congregation said the prayer, and he would not even say it. And he told us afterwards, I didn't say it.
You know, if you get a chance to minister to him, some of the things you could look up would be about the last pope, about they're calling him Pope Peter Petrus Romanus, the final conclave. The Catholic prophecies, and it deals with everything that's going on in the world today, the one world order, the Catholic Church has just claimed all the land, all the bodies, and all the souls of the world. Francis just did that. And he's saying that everything's going to line back under the Catholic Church. In studying, because everybody ought to pick it up now, I read a lot. The Word of God says the final pope is here based on the prophecies. And if the final pope is here, then everybody that's Catholic or otherwise needs to get their life right, because we're entering into the messianic season, the time of illumination of the Spirit of God, and things are going to get horrible. Things are going to prosper first, and then things are going to get horrible. And those that don't know the Lord, and here's a very effective tool, and I've done it, and many of my friends have done it. They said, I don't believe this. Well, here's what you can say to them. If I'm wrong, you use it. Say that I'm talking in first person. If I'm wrong, then there's been no loss. I've lived a good life. I've lived a clean life. I've been helped to people. I've loved people. And I've not committed any sin knowingly, willingly. If you're wrong, Ed, you're going to break hell wide open. You know, if Christ is not the Messiah, if you've given up on that which you learned as a child, if Christ's not the Messiah, then it won't matter. If he is the Messiah, you and your family and your generations to come and in the past The only hope is through him. So let me lift him up, and then you continue. Father, I just lift up Lorraine's associate that she brought to this prayer meeting, hoping that he would turn unto you. And Father, I ask that you would minister to his heart, that you would send even hosts, heavenly hosts, to him, that you would open up his heart, that you would bind the enemy from him. And for a season, Lord, that he would have eyes to see and ears to hear and listen and receive in his heart your glory in Yeshua Jesus' name. Anything else? Lorraine?
Well, my two daughters aren't saved yet.
Okay. Well, we can, I will take a list on that. Now, is this the first time you've been on this group, this teaching?
No, I've been on here before.
Yeah, I know you have in the past. I was just wondering. I'd be more than happy. I do have 3 series of books left. If you would like to email me or text me your address, I'd be glad to send you these books. And they're, from what you've heard from the testimonies, they're being a help in people regaining family and setting themselves and their family free. Let me announce that to everybody, and I do have a new series. If you're not on my mailing list, it's In His Name Ministries / Wade Butler is the ministry. But it's at Reyesvine, R-E-Y-S, like Steve, V-I-N-E, at sbcglobal.net, or you can text me at 281-236-8442, and I will send you out the series of books if I have them. Everything that I have gets sent out, and I've got 2 or 3 left right now, and I've got a new series of books coming in called The Laws of Life by Fred Mosley, and I'll send you the list, and I'll send you prayers. I've got to send prayers out to a bunch of people right now.
Okay, I'm
but
not
more
sure
than happy
I got
to
all
do that.
In His Name Ministry.
/ Wade Butler. That's just the name of the ministry.
Okay.
But it's Reyesvine. The email address is Reyesvine, R-E-Y-S, Spanish for Lord, V-I-N-E, comes out of John 15:5, at sbcglobal.net. Reyesvine, the Lord's Vine. And if you're not on the mailing list, if you're on the mailing list, I'm mailing something just about every week now. So as offerings come in, it just turns around and goes right back out. This is ministry just to bless people. So I will personally be lifting up your daughters and praying for them. Is there anything else you'd like to share before I call on somebody else?
No, thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Well, let the Lord be a light in you, and that not just Ed, but many Eds will come to the Lord because of your efforts.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Monty, I didn't call on you last week, really, so need to check in with you.
Well,
I know we talked. Are you feeling a little better today?
Put it this way, it's been many a days, spending the whole day waiting for orders to how I can increase my medicine pain, if I could or not.
Okay.
I'm not gritting my teeth to get in and out of the tractor anymore because I've only got a few minutes left to do when I can get out there and do it. I spent the last 2 days, basically 3 days now, without doing hardly anything at all. And
well, maybe this is a season where the Lord is saying for you to rest, and I know you've got a lot to do, but call upon him, and I know you call on him.
The pain has been terrible. I used to just bite my teeth together, so, and bite my tongue climbing in and out of the tractor, and I'm not healed up yet. And I'm far from what I need to be, but I'm still above ground and kicking.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Monty, because of the property you live on and what has gone on in the past on that property does need to be purged.
Well, I know that, and you said you're going to help me do it. I loaned out my two first books by Jenna Strasser today, and
okay.
I showed them to the man that actually pointed out to me that my uncle had brought the pervert spirit into North Dakota with the brothel girls.
Right.
And I told him, I said, you know, my uncle wouldn't even let me buy the land that you have because of the curse that's on that land.
Yeah.
And
He's been given,
my uncle didn't know the answer or reason why he wasn't selling the land. I know why he thought he was selling it to the other guy. But anyhow.
Well, unless you and I talk after 1 o'clock Central Time tomorrow, I'm booked solid until then.
Okay. Because right now I just, about an hour and a half ago, maybe took the first pain medicine for hours, okay? I was awake at 5 o'clock this morning because of pain. I know you get up at that time, but I don't.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everybody that's going through something or has something stupid happen that puts you into pain and misery right now, do not take it as a judgment against yourself. Just take it as the enemy trying to slow you down and keep for you from doing what you know in your heart you're supposed to be doing. Like Wade said, it took a year and a half to get him to the point where he was able to get into teaching us this material. Well, I knew I needed it for that year and a half, but I didn't know how to get the material, and I didn't have the time to do everything else I was doing and get the material. So, you know, like Nancy, I knew she had misplaced her passport or lost it the day that she got it. And it's so frustrating when something like that happens. But look at what Nancy said she found out. 7 generations back, the Holy Spirit actually revealed to her something that's been a curse on her bloodline for 7 generations. We all need to get that kind of revelation from the Holy Spirit, because we aren't going to come across somebody that knows our genealogy well enough backwards to fill in all the answers. What Nancy found out because of this teaching is something we all need to find out. And I'm serious. I mean, I know there's more stuff I need to find out. And I know that God had me do repentance, I'm sure, at least 5 times for the sins of my genealogy and myself. And I'm still not convinced I've learned it all by any means, but I haven't got any way to prove it anymore. So I need the same kind of divine revelation that Nancy got. I'm encouraging every one of you to stand up and stand strong. And if you need help to stay standing, get a hold of somebody else and lock arms, lock shoulders if you need it, back to back, so that you can stand against the enemy. It don't make any difference what denomination you're out of. You're part of the same body of Christ. And we got to quit worrying about the other denominations and just do what we're supposed to do and go and do what we're supposed to do. So that's my thank you, Wade, for getting involved with this, going ahead and teaching it and getting the material going. And one of the things I need to encourage you is, if you are going to send out that title deed type of thing,
yes,
I don't even have the book now to try to get a magnifying glass, try to read it.
Connie was gracious enough. I was going to type it up. Connie typed it up, and I'm looking for the appropriate paper, and I have gotten permission from President Geiger. We're going to use the national state and the national seal to attach.
Sounds great to me.
I mean, that's significant. And it's not going to do you any good in the court of law on the land, but it does in the court of heaven.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. Now, something that's important to you and to everybody on this call, next week, I'm going to continue with all the things. I'm continuing with the books and the courts and right on through the different chapters. And we're literally in the courtroom of prayers and petitions. I'm about 25 pages that we've gone through. You just didn't realize it because I wasn't reading it. But I'm going to be in the prosecutor chapter 7 next week in the courtroom of heaven. So everybody might want to read that. And who the prosecutor is, what he's trying to do, the prosecuting attorney and his ways. And then immediately as I go through that, we're going to deal with breaking the spirit of poverty. And that's rather intense. But we're going to deal with that next week. So anything you'd like us to, anything else you'd like to share or like us to pray for, call on somebody else?
I would really appreciate the group just binding together, rebuking this inflammation and stuff in my body. They didn't detect anything broken, but it's been very, very tough and very rough living with the injury. I don't know if I actually damaged the kidney or not, but it's in the area of the backside of by my right kidney.
Okay.
And I was literally walking sideways with taking pain medicine last week. Okay, I don't know if I'm standing up straight when I walk yet or not.
Okay.
But it's been tough and it's not been fun. But I've been I laid in bed a whole day and never read one page of that book that I had laying right next to me, Wade, because the pain was just that bad.
Yeah, I understand. Believe me, I understand pain. David, will you pray for Monty to cancel that pain and
okay.
His recovery?
Our Father in heaven, I lift up to you, Monty. And Father, if there's anything in dealing with the kidney area, a kidney stone, anything that is in there that is irritating, I cancel its ability to operate. I actually speak it to be dissolved into nothing, to being non-existent thing. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I command the pain to go right now in the name of Jesus, in Yeshua's precious name. And anything that's out of alignment within the back area, I bring that into alignment, all cartilage, all discs, every place, the alignment of the nerve to come into alignment and to fire properly, and the pain to go in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Monty, let's get together tomorrow afternoon.
You call me, okay?
All right, I'll do it. David, since you're on, what's God revealing in this? And I want to keep us on track on what, you know,
well, it's interesting that you
testimonies.
It's interesting that you talked about judges and things in that nature. Today, I had gotten a real sense that God was going to start to implement reenacting the judges upon the land, the real judges, like as in the Old Testament, but in the new sense of the throne of grace. And these people are going to be raised up to be actually agents of the throne room of grace.
Oh, wow.
And where grace will be implemented in people's lives and transformation of those people will be awesomely evident because of the throne room of grace within these people. And so the courtroom of heaven, the throne room, the grace, the throne of grace is getting ready to visit the earth in a real tangible sense, that in the sense of in the word where the word said and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, that word, this will be a dwelling in flesh among us. And we will begin to see that implementation of this grace And out of that grace, it's implemented. The, as you were speaking, God was saying that revelation will begin to awaken the body, the bride, to a higher, more powerful revelation and destiny, and it will then start to clean up and get and walk right. And so that's the thing that came across today, that, you know, it's things are getting ready to really turn around in certain ways that for a while it will be like heaven and earth to a point, because the creativity of man with God's hands as the tools of impartation of the implementation of things in that realm will begin to release knowledge, technologies, and informations, because things are being cleaned up and able to then be transferred into those people so they can handle the reality of these technologies and all of these things that are getting ready to happen, so that an implementation of a large amount of information that has been held up can finally flow freely to do what it's needing to be done. It's because, like what's happening here, we're cleaning up the mainland, us as people, and then properties and other places and things as we go along. And so that's the thing that I gotten understood today.
I'm going to have you pray in just a second. I just want to make a comment. This is not to particularly beef up David or anything, but David is one of the intercessors that I call on, and we talk sometimes 2, 3, 4 times a day. He does hear, he does see, and God gives him revelation about things that are going on. Now, David, one of the things you probably, I don't know if I told you or not, you know, I got the applications from that organization that is going to allow, I'm submitting multiple technologies to this group to fund. In the grant realm, and you know, I'm believing God to move there. So a lot of what you're seeing falls right in line, and I truly believe the word that you got from the Lord about the judges, when Chuck Pierce got a word and prophesied that we have 2 years left in this nation to realign with him and get the nation right, or we're literally going to lose the nation. And I don't know about any of you that's on here, but that is a very sad commentary, that the nation will be lost as a whole. That doesn't mean the Christians, but that does mean that we're going into a time of reformation where God is sitting judges in the land who are going to judge. And he's sitting in place, he's determining times and place where the enemy will be able to go and not go. So Scripture says that there's going to be seasons, and we need to recognize the season. Well, we're walking into a season where the times and the seasons are being realigned, and therefore he's putting judges on the land, and many of you could end up being judges. You know, I taught years ago, I taught almost all of 2012, positional authority, and we had raised up regional coordinators, and some of those regional coordinators are still with us, and they literally will be judges on the land. Because God will give them utterance now, and he will protect them, that they could bring forth his word. So what else, David?
Well, the thing is that we have to get an understanding and a revelation and a knowledge of one thing that's going to be, I believe, the cornerstone, the trigger, the thing that's going on. It's stuff I've shared in the past. We've got to be aware of God in us, meaning I have to be aware of God in you because he abides in you, Wade, and you need to be aware God abides in me and that we have destiny in him and that we have to actually look at the destinies that we have in God, in each other, and see as he sees those destinies and treat those destinies and treat each other with great love and respect because of the price it took to get us there. And that's the way we have to be towards everyone around us. Because that is the thing that's going to set everything apart on what's going to be religious or going to be righteous in relationship and empowered to prosper and empowered to be a display of that prosperity. Because the problem is that we in the body have too much competition on who's greater and who's not greater, and it gets into self-focus, self-promotion, and self-everything. And then we are teaching how to be better selves rather than being self-brothers, as it's supposed to be in the Word. Because I forgot where there is, but that's actually a definition within the Word of a specific word that means self-brothers. Christ was a self for others. He came for himself to bring others into him so that they can do what he has called them to do. And we have got to be willing to look at each other in a different way so that it says in the Word that we're supposed to prefer one another. And it is better for us to, each of us, to promote each other rather than trying to promote our own life.
Amen.
And so those are the things that are imperative that we begin to walk and do things like this. Because that's the real mark of God's walk, is love for one another because we love him. And if we truly love him, the love for one another will be embedded in that. And it will be a no-brainer, shall we say.
Right. Well, I know that this is part of it. What we're doing is part of it. Learning as we get free, then we are free to understand love and mercy and grace. I've asked David, it's either going to be next week or the week after, he's going to take about 20 minutes and break down and share about ancestry and some of the things that he and I have been talking about. And he may at that time, if the Lord gives him, use that as a format to start breaking the curses, literally all the way back to the pilgrims, because his family was one of the founding families on the Mayflower and the pilgrims. So I'm going to have him go into that this next week and dealing with the legacy that I was just talking about earlier, and ancestral lines that we need to deal with. Just as Nancy did seven generations back, we're going to be going back 10, 12, 15, 20 generations between him and I. And you'll understand it. I actually have a tree in mind now that, and see where what he's been sharing about is actual and so important. Let me call on a couple more people. Ken? I did not call on you last week, and I want to be sure if you're one of those men that's gone through the system so much where the enemies try to destroy your work, and I'm believing that God is going to raise you up as one of those in the land. Anything you want to share, Mr. Schenkel? Well, he disconnected himself instead of getting off of mute, so we'll see if he comes back on. Let me call on a couple people that I call on occasionally. But very significant. Dan, would you like to share anything? Have you picked up anything from this? Or you and Brenda that you see significant in your lives or your family? Ken just made it back, but Ken, I've already called on somebody else. Give me just a second, and I'll call right back on you.
Hello?
Yeah, Dan. Go ahead.
Sorry. Thank you, brother. I am encouraged by what I'm hearing on the call with Nancy. Wow, this is it's an answer to prayer. Through some time, I've been pretty busy the last month. I've been very busy. But over the last few days, I'm not sure how it all fits into what all you were talking about earlier. I wasn't on earlier. I apologize. But I was reminded of the king of Assyria, of Sennacherib. And as I was thinking today and just meditating, praying, I thought, you know, he was all about facts. When he sent the message to Hezekiah, he spoke facts. He did not speak the truth, but he spoke fact. And there is a difference between fact and truth. And many times we get caught up and hung up on the facts. I certainly do. We get caught up with the facts of the situation around us. When the truth is, we are healed. He says, you were healed. By my stripes, you were healed. That he became a curse for us. That these things were taken care of through the finished work of the cross. That's the truth. The enemy is great at throwing facts at us and confusing us and putting us into despair over the facts. We have to be anchored in the truth. We have to know the truth. It has to be in us. It has to come out of us so that when, as you're talking about, as we gain authority, the truth is what comes out of us, that we speak to those facts, that we speak to those things in the courts, that we speak to those things to our intercessor before God Almighty, that we speak to those things, we speak the truth. The truth is, it's covered with the blood of Jesus. We have repented where he has shown us where we need to be repent for a generation. As you're talking about generations and you're talking about previous generations, I can tell you this because I saw it and I know it's true. What you do today will deliver past generations as we break these curses. It's not just for who's coming. It's not just for who's here. We will deliver past generations. That's why the enemy wants this message squelched. Brother, what you're doing is I know is ordained of the Lord, and I am so encouraged. When my sister passed away in 2003, and she was bound up with some things, unforgiveness for one, and the Lord helped us one evening. My wife saw it, and she could probably speak to it better than I could. I saw it as well. But as we begin to pray about this area of unforgiveness and some areas along those lines, we saw my sister walking up with Jesus out of a pit. She was delivered of those things.
Amen. Amen.
Glory. You know, Dan, I don't know if you've heard my testimony on this. Now, you're not through. I just want you to hear this real quick. Grew up in a bad, rough family. And
I had a sister that was, I had three sisters. The two oldest are passed now. She was the second sister, and she was a bitter, mean, horrid person. The nicest thing I could say about her, she was a witch. Okay? And I mean it with a B. Y'all forgive me, but I mean, this woman was horrible. She beat my mother with a poker one time. I hated her. The Lord had me start interceding for her years ago. I'm talking 20 years ago. And every night he would have me intercede, and I'd lift her up before him. Then one night he told me, let her go to me. And I said, Lord, I forgive her, and I ask forgiveness for my bitterness and unforgiveness, and I release her to you. The next morning, I get a phone call from an aunt that my sister Jackie had died that night, the exact moment that I released her. I asked her, I said, when did she die? It was 9:01. I said, 9:01? She says, yes, 9:01. And I said, that's when I had released her to the Lord, and I asked the Lord about it. And I said, Lord, what was this all about? She woke up from her coma, an alcohol-induced coma, alcohol and drugs. A Christian nurse led her in the sinner's prayer, and she died. Okay? Died on the spot as soon as she said the sinner's prayer. And the Lord spoke to me and said, this was for your benefit. And I went, my benefit? He says, yes, she would have died with your unforgiveness. But you asked forgiveness and forgave her. Therefore, she was set free, and the enemy has no place to accuse you. The Lord spoke, told me that. What you're saying about your sister and the generational curses, this literally happened to me, and I never put it in context to what we're dealing with until just now when you told, when you gave that testimony. And he showed me, he says, when I, he spoke to me, and he says, when you enter my kingdom, she will be waiting there to greet you because your prayers brought her before me. Now, what a blessing.
Yes.
Dan's, what he's speaking right there about setting the captives free, even past generations, because they're held in bondage. Now, are they all going to be delivered from hell? I can't say that. I don't know that. But I do know that the judgment that is held against them, because the Lord said clearly, whatever you bind on, bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever sins you forgive shall be forgiven unto them, and whatever you hold shall not. Now, that's a paraphrase. But if you hold somebody in the bondage of sin, it's judged against them, but it also goes on your record. But if you forgive them, he forgives them for the sin that is involved with you. So look it up. That's New Testament right down the line, his mercy and grace. And you can be set free by setting a family member free where there's unforgiveness and bitterness. Anything you'd like to pray, Dan, before I get Ken back on the phone?
Well, we'll just, Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Father, for your moving, for your hand. Father, we praise you for your Holy Spirit. Father, for leading and guiding. Again, we pray that you continue to guide our brother, that you guide his steps, that you guide his words, that you give his discernment and understanding, that, that the keys of the kingdom continue to open up, Father, to each one, Father, who's on this call, that as they lay down their life before you and we repent of the sins, we repent of the things of the past, Father, that we may know or may not know of, the things that we allow that the enemy can hold judgment against us, Father, that as those things are repented for, that as those, that as the doors are shut to these things, Father, that the people will know true liberty, Father, that your people, your generations, your creation. I'm sorry, that they will know the liberty of Christ, the law of the liberty of Christ. And Father, we thank you, we praise you for all that you're doing in this behalf, Father. We pray that we pray, Father, that you open the eyes of those who need to see, who have been bound up. And as I've heard Wade talk now a number of times about the legalism and the religious aspects and the denominationalism, Father, those who have been bound up in those things, Father, that you will begin to break the bonds, Father, that it doesn't matter what the facts are. The truth is that you came to set the captive free. And as long as we're bound up, we're captive, Father. So I pray that you begin to release, that you send the angels forward to go before, to take the message before it even gets to their ears, Father, that it will cut through all of the darkness, cut through all of the fog, cut through all of the cloudiness, Father, that as the angels begin to clear a path for the truth to come forth to the hearts and minds of men and women across this country, Father, that the path be cleared so that as the truth comes forward, Father, it finds fertile ground and it will grow into a beautiful tree, Father. We thank you and praise you, Father. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Ken, I see that you got bumped off a call and you came back. So whatever God's got on your heart, what you want to share, but also want you to pray and close us. And as we say out in this part of the world, I want you to take us to the barn. Get us to take us into the finish, whatever God's got, and then pray us, close us.
All right. Well, then I just come before the Lord with praise and thanksgiving, enter into your court. And just glorify your holy name, realizing that your word is the truth, and you say that your grace is sufficient, and you have sent us your Son to show us that your grace is indeed sufficient. For he stands before the courts daily, supporting and lifting us up, saying that he has already paid the price for our shortcomings, for our sins, for our misgivings, for our misdeeds, and our lack of following you, Lord, but yet he brings us back in, and by your grace, you feed us your spirit, and you lift us up, and give us the wisdom, the strength, and the courage to stand for you and for your will. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for having my self-will get in the way and taking me away from the focus on your will, Lord. Now, thank you, Lord, for bringing me into this group of brothers and sisters, a part of the body, a part of your body, the church, to be lifted up and to edify one another and to love one another and encourage one another in your word and your spirit and through prayer and binding together. Lord, you are binding together the entire universe, the world, for your glory. And you are using each and every one of us to accomplish that. And for that, I personally am humbled and honored that you would choose such as myself to use as an instrument of your love so that we can continue to love people into submission, love people into recognition that you are God and our God is love. Our God is so forgiving. Our God is so enthralling. You give us life. You have breathed life into each and every one of now your creation. And your creation of all the material things that are here, the trees, the oceans, everything has your spirit within it. And it is there for our benefit. You gave it all to us, Lord. We just praise and thank you, Jesus, that you want
one thing, your desire is that we be one with you as you are one with the Father. That is a true show of unconditional love. You want the most for us, the best for us, so that we can follow your word, that we can follow your lead, that we can follow your spirit, that we can be anointed by your spirit by being one with you at all times. Remain in that state of prayer. That state of prayer is in the state of communion, communing with you at all times, being filled with your spirit. Be filled with your grace. Be filled with the mighty power of your spirit so that we can go and love others into your kingdom. They're going to see by our actions, not hear by our words. If there's any words that are going to be heard, they're going to come from our heart, and it'll be you coming from within our heart to land upon their ears. But it is our actions that they will see and recognize as the fruits of what is within us. And we just praise and glorify you, Lord, for being with each and every one of us. We thank you for the blessing, Lord, of your forgiving blood on the cross. And we thank you, Lord, for directing each and every one of us. We thank you for the blessings that you're bestowing on us so that we may further care for thy people as the chaos goes in. It has been revealed in your word that it is going to happen. And we will be here with open arms as you were with open arms to receive all your people, to care for them and to lift them up and allow them to see that, yes, indeed, your kingdom is at hand and your people are here and we are serving you so that you may be glorified. Lord, we just ask you to bless everyone on this call so they may go forth from here and bless those that you have placed in their lives for your blessing. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. So be it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody for being on the call. We have gone past our two-hour window. I want to encourage you to invite other people. Have people go to the replay. Playback number is 530-881-1399. Use the same participation code. And I've actually never played one back for you. John, you've played them back, haven't you?
I have several times played.
Okay. Is there any other thing you punch?
Just the same code.
Same code.
Yeah.
You right to it. Okay.
If you want to go forward or back.
And you'd actually be surprised what you learn if you do listen to it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have.
Big benefit is, Wade, the big benefit is they can pause it and write their notes and they can backtrack and listen to it as many times as they need to. But listening to the prompts of 5 for pause or to resume, 4 to go backwards, or 6 to go forward for a minute.
Yeah. Well, these are being saved, and they will be put on flash drives. I'm going to have to get contributions to do that at the end, but I'll send out the whole series to folks. So, not that this is, you know, I'm certainly a flawed teacher, but I'm giving the absolute best that I can by the Holy Spirit. So take everything that's saved and what that's said away. Seek the Lord and check out, check the references, check what God's saying. And he'll reveal to you his kingdom purpose in it. So with that, I'm turning off the recording.